We're back with All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Guy Raz, and here's how the week's big story, Afghanistan, played out in Washington.
I have determined that it is in our vital national interest to send an additional 30,000 U.S. troops to Afghanistan.
It is time not to enlarge our military footprint.
Rather than nation building in Afghanistan, we should do a little more nation building here at home.
When in history has a commander ever announced both a surge and a withdrawal at the same time?
Which is it? It's got to be one or the other.
With us to talk about this story and some others from the past week is our news analyst, James Fallows. He's the national correspondent for The Atlantic magazine. Hi, Jim.
Nice to speak with you, Guy.
There seems to be conflicting information about the president's Afghanistan plan.
Sure, and it's a very complicated issue that we're going to be unraveling for a long time. I'll tell you what strikes me about this just as a matter of sort of public decision-making and what it shows about this president and what's ahead for him. You can think of public issues. There are some of them that, while they're very controversial, are essentially simple. For example, tax cuts or most social issues. People know what they're about, even if they're very divisive. There's another category of issue where the issues themselves are complicated, but they're presented as if they were simple. Healthcare or climate issues are extremely complex, but people tend to take very sort of strong and decisive stands, pro or con. Then there's the category of issue that is complicated and very complex and presented that way. And that's relatively rare in public discourse, but I think that's what the president presented in his speech and the whole months-long decision-making process, where he said this will depend on whether dealing with this issue in Afghanistan will have an effect on a sort of worldwide dispersed terrorist threat, and whether sending more foreign troops will do more good than it creates friction or irritation. These are complex matters. You know, most of us are going to be in no position to judge, so we finally have to depend on his judgment. And I think, in a way, this week marked the moment when the Afghanistan war became well and truly Barack Obama's war, for better or worse, because these are complicated judgment calls where we're going to just have to go along with his judgment and see what happens.
Jim, also coming out of the White House this week, the president launched a jobs summit, and this came just as one of the best jobs reports in more than a year was announced. It seems as if unemployment is now slightly dipping.
Certainly at the moment, there are some positive indications. I think the White House was measured in its sort of enthusiasm about this change because they realize these monthly reports go up and down, and the historical odds are unemployment will probably get somewhat worse again before it gets better. But there are a couple of indications in the latest economic news that it won't get as bad as it did under Ronald Reagan in 1982 when it was 10.8%. There's been an increase in the hiring of part-time workers, which is usually a prelude to hiring full-time workers. There have been some surveys of business manufacturing opinion, which seemed to look better rather than worse. And so I think the cliche cautious optimism would seem to apply here.
Jim, let me shift gears entirely for a moment. I want to ask you about this trial in Italy, which had a kind of a tabloid undertone. But this really is a story about a 22-year-old American exchange student, Amanda Knox. She was sentenced to 26 years in jail for murder in a case based almost entirely on circumstantial evidence. Knox is from Washington State, and now we know that state senator, Maria Cantwell, is asking Secretary of State Hillary Clinton to actually intervene.
You know, I think this case has gotten strangely more coverage in the rest of the world than it has the U.S. It was on the front page of the China Daily, for example, today, the verdict. It's one of these stories, in a way, like the O.J. Simpson case, where nobody will ever be able to convince somebody in the other camp of what the real truth is, or the Kennedy assassination or something, because there's such a complex train of logic. And in Italy and much of Europe, Ms. Knox has been presented as sort of an evil creature. We disparage tabloid journalism, but there are ways in which it taps into sort of human dramatic narratives. And this, sadly, at the moment, for everybody involved, is one of those cases.
And finally, Jim, to a story that hits quite close to home for you and maybe even me, our friend Taishan, the little panda who was born at Washington's National Zoo, is being sent to China to his ancestral home.
Well, we could view this as a sign of Chinese-American amity, and that Taishan's stay here in the U.S. was extended an extra 2.5 years, I think, as a goodwill gesture by the Chinese government. And Taishan, I think one must admit, has grown from the unbelievably cute baby and yearling panda stage to sort of a big lumbering beast. But where Taishan will be handed back is to a breeding program in China, where the original site in Sichuan province has been destroyed by the earthquake in a tragic way. But they're trying hard to reconstitute the breeding program, and their argument is they can do better better with panda breeding stock than any other country can, so too bad for Washington zoo-goers.
That's our news analyst, James Fallows. Jim, thanks.
Thank you, Guy.
And one more question for you, Jim. Do pandas eat garlic?
I think if it's available.